Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. Unless you're a Lions or a Ravens fan, but it is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time for Keyshawn Johnson and Richard Sherman and Michael Irvin and I to talk about two championship games in which the home team stunk in the first half. Snapped out of it in the second half. The difference was, of course, the Ravens were trying to come back on the Chiefs, who featured Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce in the NFL's second-best defense, while the 49ers were able to score 27 straight second-half points on the Lions, who ranked 23rd in points allowed and who hadn't won a playoff game in 32 years and a road playoff game in 67 years. So congrats to the Chiefs, congrats to the Niners, and congrats to Richard Sherman for correctly predicting that matchup. A rematch of a Super Bowl Richard played in 4 years ago in Miami when his Niners lost to the Chiefs. Much more on that game a little later in the show. But let's start with yesterday's first game. Chiefs 17, Ravens 10 in Baltimore. A devastating loss for two-time MVP Lamar Jackson. Richard, you called it. Did it play out exactly as you expected?
No, I cannot say it played out exactly as I expected, Skip. But it did play out how I expected to a degree. Both defenses played really well. Both offenses had moments. You know, you saw early on Lamar Jackson to Zay Flowers on the scramble action. You expected Lamar to make some plays with his legs. He did. Converted a crucial fourth and one in that first half. Made some huge plays. That fourth and one could have been a touchdown. I mean, he had a chance once he got out of there to score.
I was actually surprised he didn't break away.
Me too.
Didn't you think maybe he was gone?
Whew. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the National Football League, and defenders aren't just letting you get away.
I understand.
You got some corners out there running.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. But they played really well. But you know what I said? I've told people to temper expectations. I was sitting there in one of these forums, these open forums with Baltimore fans and Chiefs fans, and Baltimore fans were saying they expected it to be a double-digit blowout win.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, this is probably going to be easy. They don't stop to run well. We run the ball well. And I said, hold your horses. Usually with Kansas City, you're talking about a middle-of-the-road defense for, you know, kind of fringe top 10. Not this year. This year, they're top three defense. They're 2 in scoring. Spags has been calling an unbelievable game.
He has.
Especially as of recently. He's been doing a phenomenal job. And Chris Jones in those playoffs is a menace. And he wasn't the only one. Minnehue had a huge strip sack of Lamar Jackson. And I was worried about Lamar Jackson holding the ball potentially too long. He did it in the Houston game. But against a young Houston team, you can get away with that. You can get away with some mistakes and make up for it. But with a veteran championship, Super Bowl champion team, you're not going to get away with that. And he didn't. And that's what I expected. I expected Patrick Mahomes to show up in a big way. He definitely did in the first half.
In the first half, he did.
Right. And, you know, I looked at this game, and I thought it was a case on both sides where your greatest asset became your greatest liability. Lamar Jackson's greatest asset all year, as he sat in the pocket. Man, he looked great sitting in the pocket. It became his greatest liability. I thought he should have had 150 yards rushing yesterday. And I'm talking about on the low end. If he just gets out, when they kept closing that pocket in on Lamar, he just waited and waited. Now, I lauded praise upon him when he did this in the regular season. But not now. Here, you don't do this. Let me tell you why. I believe in a regular season, we play the possession. You play a series at a time. You play the possession. People even start out with the top 15 because that's a possession, you know, top 15 plays. But when you get to the playoffs and you get to a championship game, you got to play each play. You got to play each play. And I thought in the Baltimore Ravens games, there were times where I can easily run and get this first down, but we made it harder on ourselves, or they made it hard on themselves trying to make certain plays, throwing the ball right here, right now. And I used to get mad at Donovan McNabb about this a little while ago when he was playing. Like, I want you to be able to sit in the pocket. But if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning had your legs at those times, they're gone. Stop trying to do them to your demise. And I thought Lamar Jackson did that to his demise yesterday. I know we talked about it all year. You did a great job, but right here, let's go. Go get a first down. Don't try to wait on these big plays, trying to sit in the pocket and scramble. That's where they lost the game. You know, Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore Ravens, down plus 10, they're like 0-28. Since 2013, you can't come back plus 10. You put up 7 points? Sherm, you talked about it when we talked about an MVP. I didn't even like the way this started. You know what I mean? This game started. You know, you got to be able to make plays in these games if you're going to be considered one of the greatest. And this was one of those games that Lamar could have taken a huge leap forward.
Huge.
If a huge leap forward. And it was right there. And you put up 7 points. We could talk a lot about how they came out. How they came out of that game. Did y'all see in the pregame, right? Patrick was warming up. Patrick Mahomes warming up. Mm-hmm. Justin Tucker was over there. Travis Kelce and them went and got their stuff and moved their stuff, moved it. I was waiting on, hey, Justin Tucker, go get your guys and come back. I'm not saying fight, but let them know this is our house. This AFC Championship game is in Baltimore. You don't get to choose where you warm up here. You are in our house. They came to Baltimore house and took it. That's my issue. I said with my guys yesterday on the set, I said, man, it's like somebody coming to your house telling you where your pots and pans are. Yeah. Are you joking? They came and took it. They were not ready to meet the intensity of the Kansas City Chiefs early on in that game. They looked just like we were talking about, like they were going to walk through this game. It was a championship football team, and they came to prove to everybody who they were, and they did. I thought Baltimore would, I knew the defense would hold him up, but I knew you would not stop him. But 17 points by that defense, by defense holding you to 17 points, that's all Lamar should have needed to win this football game, and he did
not. Are you saying that Lamar in the second half was trying to prove a point to a fault?
To a fault. No doubt. No doubt. And Sherm even alluded to it because he's right. I was going right there. I kept saying, get out and run. Let me tell you something. That second game, with Lamar Jackson, what we've talked about, passing and decision-making. Did you see the decisions Brock Purdy made in that second game? He gave you one hit, two hits. I'm out of here. I got to go. This pocket is closing. I didn't wait on it, and he ran and got crucial first downs with his legs.
He ran for 21, 10, and 21 down the stretch. Took the game over with his legs.
With his legs.
Yes.
Not just his legs, his decision-making also on when to go. And that's where Lamar lost his game. I needed him to be able to make better decisions and go. And he could have put some points on the board, and they did not.
All right. Richard Sherman, it's my turn. You beat me out of three dinners on this game, two on the outcome of the game, and one on Pacheco. I said he wouldn't run for more than 50 yards. I will say I took the bet that you jumped on because I wasn't even sure Pacheco could play because they said his toe was so bad he was very iffy. So I thought, well, at least he'll split carries with Edwards-Helaire. And not only did he not split carries, Edwards-Helaire had one carry the whole game, but Pacheco goes for 12 on his first carry. Well, I'm up against it after that. But guess what happened after that? He goes 23 more times for a grand total of 56 yards the rest of the way. So you were a little lucky that you barely got over the total on that one. But I give it to you. You still owe me one dinner for the season overall. But you got me yesterday three times.
You, You stopped paying attention, Skip, and we talked about this earlier in the year. There was a stretch in there. You made multiple dinner bets about the Dallas Cowboys winning 2 or 3.
You think the there's always Cowboys a dinner bet on every game, but it's if you have to call it, you have to take it.
Don't worry.
We'll owe me one dinner for the season, but that's okay.
We'll pull
right,
up.
Back to
you
this
actually
game.
Owe me 2 dinners, but it's a story for a different day.
That is revisionist history. That is complete delusion, but it's okay. Now, back to this game. It tore me apart to have to sit and watch this happen. Travis Kelce is still Travis Kelce. And clearly, he's everything to Patrick Mahomes, especially in a game of this magnitude. That defense was number one for a reason. It was very well coached. It was incredibly well schemed. They trick you. They do everything but guard Travis Kelce when you have to in the first half because they were much readier to play. And Mahomes is like, you're going to give me that? You're going to give me – oh, wait, you give me that? He threw him 9 balls in the first half, and he caught all 9 for almost 100 yards. And that touchdown pass to Travis was a thing of chemical beauty because it's one of the greatest rapports between a quarterback and a receiver we've ever seen, if we could see the touchdown. It's just beautiful. It's a little back shoulder.
Right.
Corner route. Okay, beautiful. Okay,
Great coverage by Cal.
Okay. All right, so that made it 7-0. And then all of a sudden, it jumps, and I'm saying, boy, Richard's got me now because it's 17-7 at half. At which point, the Baltimore defense said, that's enough, not in our house. And in the second half, they gave you a tour de force against Patrick Mahomes because if my numbers are correct, Patrick Mahomes' offense threw for a grand total of 69 yards in the second half, and that includes the last throw of the game that went for 32, the lob up to Valdez-Scantling that killed the clock and ended the game, right? So if we take that throw away, 36 yards if we take that throw away in the second half. And they went 3 of 9, did Kansas City, on third down, and clearly in the second half, Kansas City had the ball 5 times, except for the last possession, 5 times, and they punted all 5 times because they were going nowhere slowly. That was the Baltimore defense I wanted to see in the first half, because in the second half, Travis Kelce caught 2 balls for 20 yards, 2 balls for 20 yards. Okay, he was non-factor. He did not hurt the home team at all in the second half. And Lamar Jackson threw 25 passes in the second half, completed 15 of them. But the point was, it's a one-play game because you won the second half 3-0. But if you'd gotten to 14, I believe the home team would have won. So now we get to the crucial sequence. If we can see what happened with Zay Flowers, I know Michael wants to address this. But first, we got the taunting penalty on the longest play by Baltimore in the game. It's a 54-yard blown coverage. It's just a busted coverage throw wide open to Zay Flowers. And...
Dope. Keep going.
Keep going. I think he had him.
He stayed outside.
And he taunts LeJarius Sneed.
But he had to first push him off of him.
Yeah. I think it's a little much, but the rule is the rule. And that was blatant taunting if that's the rule. But you don't agree with the rule,
right? I do not. I do not agree with the rule, nor do I agree this is blatant taunting. First, getting up. I hate this rule because I play an intense game also. I like people that play an intense game. I'm not trying to show people up. I'm trying to raise me up and raise up my teammates. And I get up and be demonstrative and you want to call a penalty. Now, Travis Kelce did something similar to Kyle Hamilton when he scored a touchdown. He kind of got up.
He was into it the whole game.
And he was yapping and talking. Yep. And that didn't, that they didn't give him a penalty. I thought that was a little tough for that situation.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
I think it's a penalty. You know, I think you've done so much to this game to protect these offensive guys. Yeah. And if you're going to sit there and let him push him off, toss the ball on him, flex over him, and you're not going to let us take his head off, then you better call that. Because then the game's going to get out of hand because we're going to crush his spirit later on, but you're going to give us 15 for it later on. That's why I'm in agreement. You want to control the game and not get these kids hurt. Then you call the taunting because otherwise somebody's going to take it in their own hands and they're going to wake him up and send him to the sideline to the blue tent. And so I'm good with him keeping the game under control by calling.
If you call it on Travis Kelce, I don't have an issue too. I mean, then we're calling
right.
That
right.
straight and
that
clean.
That is
but don't give me one side
that.
And then give me another side okay. when he does it. That's
Michael,
just, yeah.
my only problem with this was I wasn't sure what Zay Flowers had to taunt about because right. it wasn't like he smoked him on the route, right? I mean, did he? I don't know. It's just a busted coverage. He's just wide open. It wasn't a great taunting opportunity, but he took it. And you know what they say about karma? It's, you know, the B word getting back at you. And L'Jarius Sneed, who was snubbed for the Pro Bowl, he quickly made up for it at the goal line because he stripped Zay Flowers at the goal line. And this is the play of the game. Nice throw by Lamar underneath. I thought he was in. I thought it was there. And L'Jarius sneaks his right hand in and gets the football on the nose.
That's
knocks
intentional
it free.
There.
Yeah, it was. It was just a great strip.
That's why football is one of those sports. You can't, before you get it done, it's hard to celebrate. It's hard to do everything because it'll get you back every single time. And you play into the end. This kind of defense, I don't think the Ravens came in with enough respect for these guys.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they had a tremendous amount of respect for the Ravens defense, and those boys were flying around. I mean, there were plays where guys got hit four times before they turned around. But I don't think the Baltimore Ravens gave this Kansas City Chiefs defense that kind of respect. And you could kind of hear it throughout the week. You know, this is going to be dominant. This is our day. This is our time. You know, when you start talking about that, like, these guys aren't one of the best defenses. Usually when you're playing against great defense, you hear about it. Man, they're such a great defense. You hear about L'Jarius Sneed, Chris Jones. They've been here before. This is some of their best ball, et cetera, et cetera. You didn't hear any of that throughout the week. And that's how I kind of gauge, oh, these guys really don't have a ton of respect for this Kansas City Chiefs defense. At least they're not outwardly saying it. And I've heard them outwardly say it when they do have respect for guys.
Yeah. All right. So, Richard, you can call me If Bayless if you want to, but I believe if Zay Flowers hangs on to that ball and crosses that goal line and it's 17-14 with a whole quarter to go, I'm saying I think Lamar is going to figure that out.
Yes. Different game. It's a different game. It's a different game if you do that. But how do we get to that different game? Baltimore players have to understand each play is crucial. Zay, that was second down. Second and eight. So if I don't get in the end zone, I still get a first down. You saw the marker right there.
Yep.
You get a first down, you don't put that ball in harm's way. You got to protect that ball. That's just the game.
Playmaker, when is the only time you reach the ball over the line?
It's fourth down, and I need this touchdown and it's for the game. That's the only time I'm putting that ball and exposing it like that. It was second down there. If I don't get the touchdown, we're going to have an inch to go to get that touchdown. You don't expose the ball. And those are the little decisions that I'm talking about at this point will cost you a game. I don't know. I love John Harbaugh. I love him. I think he's a hell of a coach. But to let Travis Kelce go 11 for 11, it's almost fireable.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
But
it's Travis Kelce.
But see, this is where I got problems.
I don't care if I break my defense. I don't care if I break all the rules in my defense. You ain't going to beat me. I'm going to see if the Kadarius Tonys, who they had inactive, and all those guys, the Van Der Scantling, can you win a whole game? Not just make one play, but can you win a whole game? Because I'm taking Travis Kelce out. That blew my mind.
But this is what I'll say. Every week we sitting on here talking about Todd Monken and Mike McDonald and the great job that they're doing. So now we can't just throw it on John Harbaugh and say, what is John Harbaugh doing?
I put it on Lamar sitting in the pocket too long. I gave Lamar. I took his flowers anyway because I give him the flowers all year. But that's on Lamar. That's not on Todd Monken. Lamar has the ability to go make those plays. Stop trying to be Patrick Mahomes and be Lamar Jackson right here that's playing Patrick Mahomes. I wanted him to get out and do some running.
Okay, but on Todd Monken.
I agree.
Okay, here's the other thing. Remember, the Ravens led the National Football League in rushing at 154 yards a game. Why would Todd Monken completely abandon the running back running game, the called runs, because in the second half, they had a grand total of three running back carries for 8 total yards because they basically just said, Lamar, stand in the pocket, make one big throw, and win this game.
Right.
And he just kept going bombs away. Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
I thought he did it by himself, Skip. I thought he didn't need no help, Skip. I thought his running backs pretty much didn't exist and that this is the MVP and they go as he go and no, they don't need anybody else. But now all of a sudden you're telling me they should have been giving the ball to Gus Edwards. So you're telling me now they should take the ball out of the MVP's hands.
No, but I mean, they led the league giving the ball to Gus Edwards and company.
I fully understood that, Skip. I understood that the whole year. I watched him play.
Yeah.
But I was told he did it by himself. So the Baltimore fans told me, along with you, that he's the MVP, and they are nothing without him, and nobody else did anything.
Well, everybody told you he's the MVP because he's the runaway MVP, right?
Exactly. But then you just told me, oh, man, this game where the MVP could have took over, you should have gave the ball to the other guys and run the ball with the other guys. I hear you, Skip, but what I'm telling you is the same thing I've told you all year. He had 10 games where he had one touchdown pass or less.
Yeah.
10 of 18. He had 10 of 18. And so when you go into that and you see these games and you tell me this is the MVP and it's a runaway and he's just been so dominant.
So he did not have an MVP game yesterday. He didn't have a terrible game, but he didn't have that kind of game. And real quick, let's look at the...
If Brock Purdy had that kind of game, you would have said he turned into a pumpkin.
I'm not hearing that.
The next question, the 10 games you're talking about, are you saying without a TD pass or without a TD period? That's not right.
Yeah.
You talking about
I'm saying where he had one TD pass or less. Either had one or zero.
All right, so let's look real quick at the two throws to Odell. He's trying to break the game open.
And let me say this before we go into it. They went too late to Odell. I was talking to Fees. I said, man, you got to go outside.
They were pressing
outside, and they didn't take enough shots outside.
He had no targets in the first half.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, let's look at the first throw. It's 10:21 left in the game. This is a deep ball from the 11-yard line. Lamar goes up, and this could have been interference, but the throw is 5 yards long. The ball has to be it has to be in the ballpark where you're focused on the DB, and maybe you get interference called on this play. Maybe. Because he's
If they call that in the playoffs, he's grabbing his arm, arm barring him,
just like Deion did to you. But the ball is 5 yards too far. All right, now let's look
Let me just explain this play here, because Odell's a little older now. Now, the old man should stack this dude.
Yeah.
That means get right back in front of him. Right when he gets around, get right back in front of him.
Okay.
The young Odell could run away from that dude.
Yeah.
The older Odell should stack him make him run up his back.
Okay, now look at the next one to Odell in the end zone. This is from a red zone throw into the end zone. Same idea. The ball's just a little far. If you drop this into the area where the interference, it's another one that could have been called. It could have been called, but the ball's just... It's so far over that it becomes irrelevant.
It's almost like I don't know if you watch playoff football, Skip, because they're not calling either one of those things in the playoffs.
Right.
They're letting them play.
And then finally, let's look at the last one that gets intercepted. It's right after this throw. He's grabbing him the whole way down. Okay, so this is the last one to likely in the back of the end zone. It's a terrible idea. It's almost triple covered.
I don't know.
Yeah, but likely gets knocked down in the back of the end zone. In real time, I didn't think it was a big deal. And then I look at the replay. And he just gets knocked down. He gets knocked out of the play. Could you call it? Well, the ball's not there. It's so far underthrown, it's not even in play for Likely at that point.
Well, I think it's underthrown because Likely broke his route. He threw his hand up.
He did. He threw his hand right there. Yep.
I'm thinking maybe was he supposed to curl or something,
and
he just decided to go deep, and that's why Lamar's late with it because he spotted it and tried to hit it.
Yep.
But here again, it brought me back to my thoughts. Stop trying to hit a home
run. Play
every play in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's how this game gets. When it gets tighter down here, and you guys can't make those mistakes. To turn the ball over in those situations, you're going to lose the game. No mercy, no mercy, no
mercy. Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List. Your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
And now it's your turn. Hashtag Undisputed Live. Here we go. First tweet from Ryan. Skip and everyone else when Lamar lost and thought he would stop Taylor Swift from going to the Super Bowl. No, said Darth Vader. Yeah, I'm Darth Vader. You got me. Next up from Stanley. Get him, Sherm. Talk your talk, no. Says Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know I got you.
You will face the truth. You will face the truth.
He sure
yeah, we're
will.
Facing it. Well, congratulations. And finally, this is just speaks for itself. I don't need to say a word.
Uh-oh.
We got her accepting that after the game. Yikes. I'm afraid we just might see that.
I love it.
I don't know.
I love it. Swifties are welcome. I mean, it's going to be a fun Super Bowl. I can't wait.
Wait a minute, says the ex-49er, and that's what we got to talk about right now.
You think they're going to bring Taylor Swift up there and he's going to be right with Travis Kelce if they win?
To accept the Lombardi.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Willie.
All right, 49ers Chiefs. Rematch of the Super Bowl that took place 4 years ago in Miami. A game the Niners led 20-10 with 6 minutes left, but lost 31-20. They allowed 21 points over those last 6 minutes. Richard Sherman, you played in that game for the Niners. What do you remember about that fourth quarter? And do you believe the outcome this time will be different?
I remember Patrick Mahomes having an amazing fourth quarter, at least the last 7 minutes. I remember him making unbelievable plays. I remember them drawing, scheming us up pretty good. That third and 15 comes to mind as the turning point. He made some unbelievable throws in the red zone. He made some plays with his legs. He did a lot of things well. Their defense stepped up, made some huge stops against our offense, and they won that game. Skip, I think it will be different this time. I think, though you guys aren't giving him enough credit, this second-year quarterback out of Iowa State is one of those guys. Skip, he's a guy. And it's weird because usually this underdog story is one that America loves, Skip. It's one that America cheers for, and they jump, get behind. But for some reason, we've found this underdog story to get first round, number one pick, Super Bowl champion expectations and standards, but seventh round mystery relevant credit. It's like, hey, it's a feel good story when he wins, but when he doesn't do well, it's like, well, I mean, you see, I told you he isn't doing that well. He was a third string quarterback last year, but I think he's going to be the difference in this game. The plays that he makes with his legs, the decisions that he makes. There were plays that Jimmy G in this game against the Lions probably would have dirted the ball or put it out of bounds or just ate the ball because pressure got there and Brock Purdy was able to make those positive plays. And that's not a shot against Jimmy. It's just not his style of play. He's not scrambling around. He's more of a pocket passer. And Brock was able, there was a rollout to the left and the play was dead. They covered it well. Detroit covered it really well. He stopped, reversed field, went back, threw it to Kyle Juszczyk for a big completion. In another world, that would have been a dead play. Second and 10, let's keep moving. Like, let's figure it out. Instead, it was an explosive pass. And that's the difference that Brock Purdy's bringing to this team. And I think he's going to make the difference in the game. And I also think experience. The first time we went to that game, that Super Bowl, these were rookies. I was playing with a bunch of Debo Samuel was a rookie. Nick Bosa was a rookie. They were playing fantastic. But they were really young. Fred Warner, that was his second year in the league. He is much more experienced of a player now. Dre Greenlaw is much more experienced as a player. It's a different situation. And they also have Christian McCaffrey, an MVP candidate as well. So I think those factors are going to factor in.
Heavily. Not just fact, they'll factor in heavily. Mm. Deebo Samuel was the leading receiver and leading rusher in that Super Bowl. And you just talked about it as a rookie. So now you get Christian McCaffrey, and it's just a whole different deal. I, too, concur with your conclusion on Brock Purdy. This is the difference. Jimmy G is just trying to, if we wanted to give a game manager title, that's the guy that really deserved the game manager title, and he was a first-round draft pick. But what you saw Brock Purdy do yesterday, that went way beyond game management. And it was, again, Sherm, great decision-making. And I believe this game will be different. Right now, I'm leaning towards the 49ers winning this Super Bowl, to be honest with you. Because when you look at it, you got to say, San Fran has gotten better. And when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs team, I may still take the team that won that Super Bowl over the team I saw yesterday win in Baltimore. But I know San Fran has gotten better all the way around. So I'm expecting a real different game next time.
Mm. So, Richard, you said it's no shot at Jimmy G for what happened in the fourth quarter. But I look at his numbers. He was 3 for 11 in that fourth quarter for a grand total of 36 yards. He threw a big interception. And
he missed.
He had a throw to Emmanuel Sanders. It was 3rd and 10 from the Kansas City 49 with 1:40 left. I think we have it right here.
Okay, great.
If you make this throw, we might be having a different conversation. But it didn't happen. So the point is, Richard, just before we leave behind what happened 4 years ago, would you agree that you blew the coverage on the 3rd and 15 play? Because it's 3rd and 15, they're backed up, and it's from their 35, and it looks to me like Patrick just throws a punt up to Tyreek. He has to come back and, like, wave for a fair catch to catch it.
Yeah. It ended up being a busted coverage. As you can see, Fred Warner is right where he's supposed to be. E-Man still tried to drive it. He read the play a little bit wrong, and we gave up the completion. That was a big play in the game. I mean, that was the turning point. There was plays. I gave up a catch 35 yards later in the game that helped them get in a scoring position. There were a number of plays in this game, Skip, that gave them a chance. But you also give credit. This is what I don't like. I don't like when you do it to Brock Purdy. I don't like when you do it to Patrick Mahomes. Give him credit. He made the play, Skip. That you can't say, oh, he just threw it up and it's just randomly landed in Tyreek Hill's hands. He got it to Tyreek Hill. Regardless of how it looked, he got the ball to his playmaker in a crucial situation under duress. That's a clutch play. So give the man credit for what he did because he made that play. We didn't. That is how the game works. Some people, you make the plays, you don't make the plays, they win the game. If we make those plays, he doesn't make those plays, we win the game. And that's why you got to give him credit. That's why he's on a Hall of Fame run, and he's a Hall of Famer right now if he retired. And he's going to his fourth Super Bowl in 6 years in the league. Yep, 4 Super Bowls already.
Yeah. Yep.
And no matter how much love we give Patrick Mahomes, we will fall short of what he really deserves and what he's really earned. To be honest with you, because he's just been absolutely incredible all the way around. But speaking to that, and you see that play, that team was able to come back when it was down. Those many points. This team, I see it a little bit differently because they don't have that up top explosiveness that they had with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. That's why even that last play yesterday was a surprise. To go deep in that spot in this moment, you caught everybody off sides. It was early. I saw some stat, prior to
you're talking about the 32-yard to Valdez.
Right, the Valdez Scantley.
That was their longest pass of the day.
Right, longest pass of the day. And prior to, I guess, the end of the season, I think I was looking at some stats, and it was, why Tyreek Hill was there. They had 44 big plays, and since he's left, they only had two big plays. So that's not a part of their game plan now. That's why even yesterday, if you can get up on Kansas City, you have a chance because they're making them come back. But you were not able to do it. So you got to give them credit. But this time around, without Tyreek Hill, without that ability to come back, I think this game will be different.
And they just don't have that. They're not scoring the kind of points they did.
Right.
But with what they've lost on offense, they've made up for on defense. This is a better defense than they've had in those past years. So it's like, hey, they've only scored 30 points three times this season, but then they're not giving up a ton of points. They're second in the league in scoring. So it's not like they have to score a ton of points to be in these games. They just won a game, the AFC Championship, scoring 17 points. Their defense played so well against the number one team in the league for a lot of the season, and they were able to get that win. So I think this is going to be a dogfight that's going to come down to the last possession. But we'll talk about that on in the next segment.
Okay, so, Richard, does it give you any pause, the cause to pause? Your 49ers gave up 148 rush yards in the first half at home in the NFC Championship game. That's just shocking to me. And somehow that tells me that Kansas City is thinking, we just might be able to run this football.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave me concern. But what gave me peace was the 35 yards in the second half, the corrections, the adjustments that were made. Because I'm sure Kyle Shanahan was just as concerned as I was. But if you're going to tell me, hey, their game plan is going to be to run the ball and take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands and beat the 49ers, I'll take that all day and night.
Yeah, and they don't have, listen, Kansas City got a good offensive line, did a great job yesterday.
They did.
But they do not have what Detroit. They do not have a Sewell, what Detroit has on that offensive line. And they pounded San Francisco. I don't think Kansas City has the ability to do that. So that thing will be different. San Fran will play well up front against this team. They just yesterday was a different game.
Okay, but just me, and Richard doesn't want to hear this, but I wasn't all that impressed by what Brock Purdy and company did to the 23rd ranked defense in points allowed, because they should have done what they did in the second half, in the first half and the second half, to me. So it was fairly unimpressive overall, because they finally just did what should have happened in the first place. Detroit had little to no playoff experience, and the moment got too big for them in the second half, and they fell all apart, right? The Lions started doing Lions things in the second half.
So the Chiefs scoring 0 points in the second half is impressive, but San Francisco scoring 27 straight is unimpressive. 34 in the game, so they scored 34 points, so it's unimpressive, but 17 and 0 in the second half is impressive. I got you. I just want to point
out
the
discrepancy. Baltimore had the number one defense, and what they did in the second half, I thought they would also do in the first half. I thought they could hold Mahomes and company to 10 points. And it was only 17, which, by the way, was the lowest winning score in a championship game in 20 years. So that's pretty
impressive. But you're impressed by that. But you're impressed by that because it was the lowest scoring win in that history. But then you're not impressed by 34 from an offense and a second-year quarterback that was drafted in the seventh round. I just want to make sure we're clear about this.
I predicted it was going to be 35-14 San Francisco, so I was off by a point. They got 34. They did it the hard way. They did it in the second half, but still 34, 35. I don't know. That's about what they should have scored against that defense, and I think you would agree with that.
I agree. They should have scored this amount, but they did score that amount, so I'm not upset with that. But I'm just saying, I just want to dress him up in a different costume so you can give him the respect and credit he deserved. If his name was Patrick Mahomes, if his name was Joe Burrow and he came back 27 unanswered, if he was Justin Herbert and came back 27 unanswered, if he was anybody else, you would be sitting here like, man, that was pretty impressive. And you're telling me this second-year quarterback who started a full season for his first year. This is the first time he started 17 games, 16 games, and he's taking his team to the Super Bowl, and you just said him coming back 27 unanswered was unimpressive. That's just concerning.
Against Detroit? Really? Okay, so I've never given enough credit to Patrick Mahomes. I'm here to do it right now because I thought he was really good yesterday. He struggled in the second half because that defense is really, really good. But he did what had to get done in the first half, and he did what had to get done at Buffalo, and he has got them to the Super Bowl when I did not see this coming because he and Travis Kelce are virtually unstoppable right now.
Right.
They are back.
Right.
And so I'm leaning a little more Kansas City, even though they're a point and a half dog in this game.
So So his is impressive, Skip. And their stats are almost... All right, Skip, I got you, babe.
Detroit. Sure. It was the Lions, Richard. Way to
right.
go.
It was the NFC Championship. Yeah. I know you don't really talk these games because your team's not in it very often right now, but like, it's the NFC Championship to send his team to the Super Bowl. The same situation Patrick was in. No mercy. No mercy. No
mercy. When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me. Or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel. Won't back down.
So Dan Campbell did not go for it on 4th and goal from the 3 at the end of the first half. He took the field goal that made it 24-7. But he did go for it on 4th and 2 from the 28 mid-third quarter, and Josh Reynolds dropped the pass. And Dan Campbell did go for it on 4th and 3 from the 30 mid fourth quarter, and Jared Goff's scramble pass fell incomplete. Obviously, Dan Campbell's battle cry all season has been, "We go for it." So, Keyshawn, what did you think of his decisions in the NFC Championship game?
Mistakes. Skip, Michael and I talked about it throughout the course of the game. This is not the preseason, nor is it the regular season. This is the NFC Championship game. To go to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You get points, you're on the road, take the points. He decided, although you look at it in hindsight, you go back and you say, okay, it was good play calls. There's no question. Reynolds catches that ball. If Jared Goff on the other one doesn't get flushed out, he's got 2 guys that's coming open. But I got a kicker that I pay, okay? and I want, he's gonna have to show me as a head coach, he's gonna miss. Mm. You're gonna have to show me, Skip, you can't make it for me to make that decision not to do it. I'm not talking about in pregame warm-ups. I'm not talking about in practice on Friday. I'm literally talking about in the game.
Yeah.
You're going to have to show me you can't kick a 40-plus yard field goal and make it. I think Dan made some major mistakes because, as I said before, he's thinking like a player, not like a coach. When you think like a player, we want to go for it. Okay. We want to, like, come on, we want to go for it. We want to get 7. We want to extend the drive. The coach sits back and he goes, what do you think? What do you think? Field goal team go out. That's what the coach does. Mm. But he's thinking like a player. Like you said, Skip, tough. We've been doing it all year long. We go for it. Got to take a step back sometimes. Now, as he slept on that plane, a lack thereof, flying back to Detroit, all night long, he's sitting up saying to himself and second-guessing himself, we'll never know that. But I can promise you he's second-guessing himself. Because you want those 6 points. Mm. If you add those 6 points, you put the pressure on the San Francisco 49ers now to call the game different, to do things differently. I think Dan screwed this completely up. I think he did.
Right. And you say the 6, just give me the 3 and go up 17.
Yeah, give me the 3.
You go up 17 prior to that Ayuk play happening. We don't, if you can't get the field goal there, now you kick the ball off and you say, let's play ball. 17 points down.
I'm calling it different.
They talked about how San Fran was in the locker room. He said, they were quiet. There was not much noise going on. Everybody was quiet. I want to continue to put water on that fire. And when you come out and kick that field goal and you're up 14, now you go up 17. That's a little more water on whatever fire they're trying to rekindle. I keep talking about hope would dictate effort. Now you lose a little hope and you lose a little effort. You don't kick that ball. And then that Brandon Ayuk play happens.
Yep.
Everybody's in the huddle saying, it's a whole new game now. We scored this touchdown. We're down 7. It's a whole
you
new
the
game.
Field by kicking
and
the field
that's what
too.
Happened.
You flip that field. You know, they don't get the
right.
ball where they
you
get,
don't
it.
Get, you get it.
They
wait,
don't get
right.
it at the 25-yard line.
That's what that's what I was saying. That's just all right. That was a bad decision. I know it worked for you in the regular season. This ain't the regular season.
Not.
And when it didn't work in the regular season, you had next week. There is no next week. We'll see you next year.
All right. Dan Campbell did a phenomenal job of getting that squad to those moments.
Absolutely.
He did an all-time right. off the charts, out of this world job of getting them to 24-7 at halftime of the NFC Championship game as a 7.5-point dog at their place. Okay. Michael might know this expression. It's old Texas expression. You played for a while in Dallas. It's made famous by Bum Phillips and Daryl Royal at Texas, but it's you dance with who brung you. And Dan Campbell knows it because he's from Texas, played at Texas A&M, played for the Dallas Cowboys. But the idea is you don't lose your identity as the stakes get higher and higher. You dance with who brung you. That's why what shocked me, where he first played out of character, was at the end of the first half. You had them so on the psychological ropes, they were doing nothing. They could not stop nothing that you were doing. You know, they gave up 148 yards rushing at halftime. Kyle Shanahan, in 7 years in San Francisco, had never had a team that gave up 148 in an entire football game. So, to me, he second-guessed himself when they got to fourth and goal at the 3 at the end of the half, because you have a chance to go for the throat, man. It's going to be 28-7 if you can cash this. You also have a chance to make a first down there.
Yes.
Okay? So the point is, he said go, and then he had a second thought, and he's like, no. He says, no, field goal. Okay. And I thought the game was close to being over because somehow to me, and you can call me crazy if you want, 28-7 just feels different than 24-7.
Absolutely.
It just does. It just has a ring to it.
28-10
like,
feels different.
Like you go in the halftime, you're the 49ers, you go, what are we doing? You know, what happened? Instead, they went in and like, well, if we can cut it to 24-14, you know, now it's a 10-point game, right? We get the ball first. So they had not lost hope at halftime. Then in the second half, I can't condemn him for going for it because the first one, Jared Goff throws a rocket and hits. I don't know how you can throw it any better. Under
gotta
the circumstance, you just got to catch the Josh Reynolds throw.
Got to catch it.
And then now you get down to 4th and 3 at the 30. And again, now it's all teetering. And Jared Goff, if we could see the play, he gets flushed and he rolls to his right on the 4th and 3 play late in the game. It's mid fourth quarter. And, you know, is somebody open underneath
there? Well, there's right there.
Maybe. I don't know what he's throwing to. I'm not sure what's happening here.
In that square end, he's
yeah. I don't know if there's
Williamson coming across.
He's throwing to St. Brown because St. Brown put his foot in the ground to retrace back to that spot.
He
threw it in a perfect spot, but St. Brown fell short of it. He just slipped.
I also think he threw a duck.
Square was wide
I think it was a bad throw.
No, it was a bad throw. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to throw when you're on a run like that back across your body. But he threw it to a perfect spot. St. Brown just couldn't get there.
Right, and if you see all 22s, you'll see also Reynolds is wide open on the square, and he's coming wide open. But Jerry did get flushed towards his right, and he couldn't get back all the way to his left to catch him. I mean, he was wide open on that square. Yeah. I don't know if Jerry even saw him, if he would say, I don't know. You just dropped that pass anyway and put it back.
Remember,
down.
Josh Reynolds had dropped 2 in the second half.
Right.
He dropped a 3rd and 9 pass.
Yeah, and so for me, when I look at that with Dan and Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, either run the ball there or kick a field goal.
Okay.
You just run the ball or kick a field goal, man. That's you got big boy pants on. You got Gibbs. You want to bully him.
4th and 2.
4th and 2.
That's a long run.
No, it is. It is
a long run.
But you've been gashing them. right. prior to that.
Just gashing.
Just yeah. go
like,
back
like they had
and
no
do
answer.
It. Just yeah. because they stopped two or three plays in the run game, right. don't all of a sudden get scared.
Yeah, but
that's scared when you abandon something.
Right, and they did it again on the goal line, went for it and ran down there and got stopped. You know, 2 yards, it's a long way.
No, it is.
I say you kick that field goal right there.
No, you
if it's fourth and inches, if I got a fourth and inches, and it's just, let's just go man on man, I'm with that, with that, what that offensive line was doing. But fourth and two, I'm going up 3 more points, and I'm going
hey,
to
did you
say,
guys first guess it when you're watching together? Did you say kick the field goal?
Absolutely.
We were saying kick the field goal. We were uttering it. Kick the field goal. What are you doing? Kick the field. Don't do this. Don't be. We were like, don't do this. Don't do. And he wouldn't. And then he. Oh my God.
There were some other things that were said in between.
It wasn't like that. Yeah, it was. But we were saying kick the field goal.
Is it possible he didn't trust a kicker? They just added 4 games back. Right. Michael Badgley. I don't know how good he is.
4 for 4. Yeah. One outside of 40 yards, yeah. and he had one. And I got to make him make another one. Or I can tell the people, we had it.
That's what I'm
we
saying.
We just missed the field
That's what
goal.
I'm saying, Skip.
And it's not on me. We didn't lose the game
on
decisions.
I need my kicker to make me make a bad decision by having you kick. If you miss, I made a, that's me. I should have known better. But you got to show me you can't make it. You got to show me you can't make it because you're on the roster because I believe you can make these kicks. So why wouldn't I use you?
Maybe you're on because you believe the other guy couldn't make those kicks, right?
Same thing, though. It's the same thing. You're on my roster because I need somebody to kick these field goals. Because here's what I would
under
say
pressure.
In this situation. If it's fourth
under
and
pressure.
Two and it's the end of the game and you need him to kick the field goal, are you trotting him out or are you going to go for it? That's a different decision.
You're trotting him out.
You're trotting him out.
You
so
are.
Why not trot him out now?
Okay.
To go up, like Michael's saying.
And then even to come to the podium afterwards and say, ah, you know, hindsight is fine, but, you know, I got to stick with it. No. Just see, I
should have,
I should have done something different.
Yeah. Oh, he said because on the way home.
Because you're in this place, you have lost this game. Don't ride it out. No more tough stuff. Just say, man, we obviously should have done something different. We could have come out on the
I mean,
side.
You're a half a football away from the Super Bowl. And you're up
for Detroit
24-7. And I'm sure at halftime, because you picked the Lions, you know Aaron
Glenn.
Chilling.
You know, I was chilling. Like, I was like a fat cat.
Yeah.
Right. Me and Mike, we was chilling. Oh, I felt good.
Hey.
Oh, I felt good.
Dan Campbell had a chance.
I felt good.
To get Detroit to the Super Bowl and get him a statue right next to Barry Sanders.
No, seriously.
He would have had a statue right next to Barry Sanders. I don't know, bite the kneecap or whatever he would have been doing. But he'd have had a statue right next to Barry Sanders if he'd have got that team.
And I tell you what my old coach Bill Parcells always would say. It's one of the things he always said. Take advantage of this situation because you may never, ever get back to this point again in your career.
And Dan acknowledged that after the game.
Oh, did he?
But he said,
okay.
There's also a good chance we will be back next year. Because what else are you going to say?
They got a great young nucleus of players, man.
Put it this
and
way.
If that young nucleus keep everybody in check and make sure everybody works like they
That's
work,
all
fine,
fine and dandy.
Fine.
I played the AFC Championship game, and it took me forever to get back to another championship game before eventually going to the Super Bowl.
But you said it, Key. You went through a lot of quarterbacks. See,
you know?
That quarterback
no,
and those players are going to be there.
I ain't even talking about the quarterback. I'm just talking about the league in itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those teams in the NFC, they're going to retool. The Green Bay Packers are going to be in the mix.
They will.
Okay? At some point, Minnesota's going to be in the mix. New Orleans ain't going to be the doormat forever. Okay? The 49ers are coming back. The Rams are coming back. I mean, teams are getting better. So you're not going to just look up and go, oh, we'll be back here next year. No, it's not the Dallas
Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy.